Good luck, Dolan. I'd like to read you something that one of my employees sent me that I thought was very appropriate for today. Have you ever wondered what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? 5 were captured by the British and as traitors tortured and died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from their wounds or hardships of the war. They signed and pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists, 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers with large plantations, men of means, well educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were ever captured. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ships swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and property to pay his debts, and he died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served as in the Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers looted the properties of Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British general, Cornwallis, had taken over his home for their headquarters. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his gristmill were laid to waste. For more than a year, he lived in the forests and caves, returning home to find his wife dead and his children gone. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. Such were the stories and the sacrifices of the American Revolution. Those were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued their liberty more. They signed this unwavering pledge. For the support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And if you'd like a copy of this, hopefully the office can get it put on the Facebook, the church Facebook, I mean. So, is there any other announcements? Okay, so I guess we'll start with the prelude. Judy, I want to thank you. That is wonderful music in these trying times. Also, I'd like to remind you all to put your tithes and your joys and concerns in the collection plates at the back as you leave. Now, if you'd please stand and join me in the call to worship. God calls us not to task, but to conversation. God calls us not to a distressed nation, but a relationship. God calls us not to an achievement, but to a table. What if we answered, "Here I am," and pulled up a chair, ready for whatever happens next? And also on page 881 of your hymnal, join me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Join me in a prayer of confession. Holy One, sometimes we treat you like a butler rather than our most intimate lifelong friend. Forgive us when we would rather summon and dismiss you according to our needs instead of sitting down for a conversation with the Lord of all heaven and earth. Forgive us when we prefer offering our own answers overhearing your questions. We are sorry, and we are ready to listen. Hear these words of assurance to us from Isaiah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. If you take a moment to reflect. Father God, you are beyond time and space and comprehension, and still you call us each by name. You pitch a tent right where we live. In your mercy, beckon to us again. We are here. Call to us again. We are your people. Speak to us again. We are listening and ready to follow. Amen.
What I'm going to do is show you how we're going to do communion this morning. These are kind of tricky, so I don't want you to spill it on you, but there's a real little film on top that you pull up, and then you'll be able to get the wafer, and then you pull this other one up. But it's kind of hard to see, so some people that are have a little bit of trouble, if you just raise your hand, we'll come help you. And I noticed there's little holes where you have the little prayer request. After you're finished, just put the little cups in there, then we won't spill the juice on the pews. So,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
the wafer first. And are we going to wait and do it all at the same time? We're going to pass this out to y'all, and then we could all just do it at the same time. How's that sound? Okay? Okay. All right.
Tell us all we need to do.
Do you want
this? It's always been a pleasure to me to have communion. It's one of the most meaningful services within the church. So if you would turn to page 12. Christ our Lord, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not. We have not done your will. We have broken your heart. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while
we were yet sinners.
I'm sorry. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Oh.
Now, would you pass the peace to each other the best that you can? I understand.
God bless you. God bless you. They can all hear me.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift us up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth, and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy,
holy
Lord,
God of heaven and light, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes
in the name of the Lord. Highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son Jesus Christ, by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat this in my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink this in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a body and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and in these gifts of bread and wine, make them for us to be the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask them to deliver the pods to you, and then I will say, break bread, and you can break it then, and we'll do the communion, that part of the communion. Take those and deliver them to the people. This is different, and it's going to be a little bit harder to do. During the first part of the summer, Mary and I, and Mary still stays home, we're staying home. The Baptist church there in Mayhill had communion with cups, with this type of communion, and I was amazed, first of all, that we could do something like this, or they could, but I was amazed that they served Mary and I in our car. But it was a beautiful thing to share and be a part of. Thank you for coming and being here this day. Donald's got this down to his science up here. Take the bread and then take the juice. This is his body and blood broken for us and given for us.
I will not read the dismissal. That'll come later.
I think I'm exploding. Apparently. Okay. Would y'all stand with me as we read our scripture? And it comes from Exodus 33:7-9. And if I would have thought, I would have put this more down there where everybody could see it. Remember when you were young and your mom would let you have a table or a box or the coffee table or a card table, and you would make yourself a tent, and you would, as long as you were in there, you were alone by yourself, and you could talk to whoever you wanted to talk to, your imaginary friend, or you'd have a friend in there with you sometime. But that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a tent. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, in case you don't remember, that cloud was God. Okay? Just cluing you in so you remember. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And then John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God for His word. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want to ask Jeannie to come up here for just a minute. She's my prayer partner. Okay. Will you pray for me, Jeannie?
Lord, guide and bless Paula today as she delivers her word, your word, to our service. Keep her protected and make her strong. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I learn something every day. Maybe a joke. But I learned something every day. How to do something that I haven't done before. Or some information that would be helpful for my seniors. But I learned something every day. And I want to share just a few things that I hope that you can learn today. Okay? Well, first thing. Now, this is very important. Wrinkles don't hurt. They don't. I could attest to that. Okay. Second, middle age is when you choose cereal for the fiber and not for the toy. although I have been kind of looking at the toys sometimes. Okay, this is my favorite one. This is number three. You never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. No. My cat would not like that. Number four. Do not sneeze when someone is cutting your hair. That's wise. That's wisdom. And number five. The best place to be when you're sad is in grandma's lap. You remember that when you were growing up? Now, every once in a while, my grandma would get in my tent with me. Okay? Now, got to take a deep breath because I'm ready to talk to you. Hello? Oh, you're ready. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Bye. Okay. I got my Bible. I got my communication device. And I'm ready to go to my tent to talk to God. That's what Moses did. Is there any law that says we can't do that? No. There's my Bible. There's my communication device. And I'm closing the flaps because I don't want anybody to hear us. And you know you can't see us. Nobody knows we're in there. Right? Do you notice the front of your bulletin? You think I made a mistake. I'm not an English teacher. Tag, you're it. And it's not YOU'RE. It's you're it. What can Paula possibly be talking about? Tag means time alone with God. Time alone with God. It can be in the morning. It can be in the evening. It can be in the afternoon. It can be when you're fixing to go into a really stressful meeting. It can be when you're having words with your child and you don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, you whisper a little prayer. And you say, God, guard my tongue. I don't want to drive him away. Well, tag is time alone with God. What is your it? That's your I time with God. That's your personal time with God. What do you do with your I time? Do you gripe and complain about what others are doing and they're not being fair to you? Do you ask for what you want? Because you know God gives you everything you need, and so you can ask him for what you want. Do you ask God to change someone else because they're just not acting right? My personal favorite. Do you ask God to let you win the lottery? Every time you buy a lottery ticket, do you say a little prayer? Say, oh God, please let me win this time. Just this one time. But your I time is your personal time with God. It's a conversation. Not a harangue. God, you didn't do this, and God, you didn't strike him dead, and God, you didn't get him out of the way, and God, you didn't let me do this, and God. It's not that. It's a conversation. Now, I'm not saying you can't be mad at God, because there's been plenty of times when I've been mad at God. But you know what? When I tell him I'm mad and I get all that out, it makes me feel better, and I realize he's still got his arm around me. He still loves me. This is your time, your eye time is your time to get right with God. If you're right with God, then everything else will fall into place. There are some things our church needs, but we can't get those needs met if each and every one of us are not right with God. We have a new pastor coming in 2 weeks. Are we going to greet him with open arms? Are we going to greet him with, well, you know, the last pastor did so-and-so, and I don't think you ought to do that. You know, well, we're really not too much on, you know, getting out and asking people to come to church. We have a new pastor coming. Let's be open-hearted. Let's be loving. Let's be kind. We need a new outlook. If we keep doing the same things that we've always done, the same way we've always done them, we're going to get the same result. And nothing is going to be better. It's got to start with us and our relationship with God. And we need to pray for new people to come in here, to be part of us, for us to love on, for them to love us. And they don't have to look like us. They don't have to be rich. They don't have to be the same color. They don't have to speak the same language. God loves them all. If our hearts are not right with God, nothing's going to change. We cannot expect people to darken the door of this sanctuary just because we're here. This is a beautiful sanctuary. It is beautiful. This is God's house. But I'm going to give you a little secret. This is not the only place God lives. We need to think outside the box. Outside the box of this church. I should say, outside the box of this building. Because you and me are the church. The church is wherever we are. If we're in the park, the church is in the park. If we're in the parking lot, the church is in the parking lot. If we're in a campground, the church is a campground. The church is wherever we are because we are God's people. We are His children. We're all gripers. Do you like to gripe? Oh, I do my fair share. Well, the state would just let loose some more money. If I can gripe with the best of them. We are all gripers because things don't go the way we think they ought to. When we gripe or we vent to someone else, what happens? Well, if you're griping about the pastor, the person listening is thinking, well, I don't want to meet that pastor. I don't think that'd be too good. If you're griping about the finance committee, the person listening doesn't want to give money to that wasteful group. If someone in the congregation offends you, and you talk about that person openly, whoever's listening is thinking, well, I wonder what she says about me when I'm not around. And then I heard one this morning, and I am very guilty of this, of the action that causes people to be a little perturbed. You know, I never perturb people, ever. Just ask my son. You know, it really irks some people if you sing along with the music. But let me tell you something. Did you not want to sing along with that Amazing Grace this morning? And when you hear a song that praises God, don't you want to sing along? Even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, don't you want to sing along just to praise God? I mean, there's going to be a couple more songs that we're going to hear in a minute. One was written by a little 15-year-old girl. I'd never heard it before. It's fantastic. And then one, the very last one, is sung by a little blind boy. He was born at a pound and a half. He's been blind ever since then, but he's got perfect pitch. Now you figure out how that worked. Okay? Sometimes we get so full, we have to bubble over, and the best way to do it is through music and song. So don't criticize people when they sing. Sing along with them. Out-sing them. It'll work. What should we do or should not do or not allow to be done? Now, these are things that I have heard, and I just want to call them to your attention. And you're going to say, this was never said. Yeah, it was. Someone griping about the church and threatening to leave the church. And the church will really hurt because I will take my tithe and offering with me and the church won't have any money. We're still open. We're still open. God does not intend for this church to close. I've heard of people griping because the preacher uses the wrong translation of the Bible. Now, you and I both know that the King James Version is the real version of the Bible. Right? I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little partial to the Message. I kind of like that one. Okay. And here's, we're so bad about griping about other church members because they're just not acting like Christians. Well, what does a Christian act like? Are we passing judgment? What are we doing? No one's 100% happy with what goes on in church. People, you can't make everybody happy. There's no way. But this is the one place where we should feel free to come and express ourselves through the love of the Lord. Now, where should you go when you want to vent your frustration? Because we do get frustrated. I don't know about you, but I do. If you're unhappy with a pastor, arrange a time to meet with the pastor, have a prayer together, and work out what's wrong. You'll be surprised what prayer does. If you're unhappy with the finance committee, go to the next committee meeting and voice your concern. If you don't like the music, join the choir. Talk to the choir director and volunteer to help her make the change. Make some changes. If you're unhappy with a fellow Christian, meet with that person privately and discuss the problem. Now, this is where your eye time comes in. And like I said, your eye time can be a length of time in the morning, a length of time in the evening, or it can be snippets of time throughout the day. If you're right with God and you say a little prayer before speaking, God will help you express yourself, save feelings, and temper each person's reactions. Amen. hasn't been real formal today. I've tried to talk to you like I talked to a friend, because you are my friends. And this is the way God talks to me. It's not formal. I'm not formal when I talk to God. So would you stand as I give you the blessing for this week? And then we have one more song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And if you want to sing, you sing. Okay. God, help us to keep our mouths shut when we want to complain about or have disdain for your church and your children. We want the world to know us because of our love for you and the body of Christ. May your words be an encouragement to all who hear. Go in the name of the one who invites you just as you are. Then see what happens next. In Jesus' name, amen. This little boy is about, I think they said 12, and he's blind.
Open the eyes of my
Have a great week.